Today we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 4. So if you have your Bibles, please go to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to start at verse 4. We're going to be talking about the birth of Jesus. And I encourage you as we go through today and over the next several weeks, just remember that deep down inside, this is what we're about. This is why we're here. So I would just encourage you to just continue to worship God each and every day and worship Jesus, because without Jesus, we couldn't be here. Starting in verse 4, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 4. And Joseph went up to Galilee from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there was shepherds out in the field, keeping and watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with him he is pleased, whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard and wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen, as it had been told to them. At the end of the 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in their womb. Let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. Lord Father, in the name of Jesus, as we get prepared to hear the word today, we ask you, Lord Father, to touch our hearts. Give us a calm and peace and a stillness, Lord, so that we can focus on what you have to tell us. Help us hear you, Lord Father, and help us, Lord Father, be able to recognize you and walk with you throughout the day and throughout the week, Lord Father. For we know, Lord Father, the church is not just this building, but it's amongst your people. So as we walk today and leave this place today, help us, Lord Father, stay with you, walk with you, worship you, and praise you. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Peter. Eric, our new comedian, does such a wonderful job. Thank you, Tiffany. We appreciate everyone who's participated, and of course the worship team. Thank you. So real quickly, we're going to go ahead and dismiss our teens to go on back with Eric. If they'd like to be dismissed, now is your time. Please go ahead and go with him. And we appreciate you being in here up to this point, but we're going to be sharing the word, and you guys will be sharing the word there as well. So real quickly, if you don't mind, some of you have just literally just sitting down, but I tell you what, let's do this. Why don't we all stand together? Let's turn to one another and welcome each other in the name of the Lord. Wave. You can get around and shake a hand if you'd like to real quick. You've got just a moment. Say hello to people. Hug a neck if you'd like to do that. Feel free. We've got just a brief moment, but we are here to celebrate and worship together. We do life together, and we are appreciative that you are here and a part of things this morning. So I do want to just share a couple of things that are going on in the church family, and thank you guys so much, and you can be seated. When you're finished being friendly, go ahead and have a seat. You don't want to be the first one. It's like, man, I've been friendly long enough, you know, that kind of thing. But I do want to share a couple of things going on in the church family. And I want you to be in prayer and kind of be updated on some of the prayer items that we have been sharing with you. So you may or may not be aware, but you probably have noticed that John and Mindy have not been able to be here over the last 3 or 4 weeks. And his health is continuing to decline. And he is not really getting out of bed that much. And we want you to just continue to be in prayer for him. I do want to let you know that there have been some opportunities for him to reconnect with some family members that has really been a huge blessing to him. And that was in many of our prayers leading up to this end of his life, because one of the things that you definitely want to make sure of is you have an opportunity to say your goodbyes and to do so in such a way that you are glad to do and glad to be on those terms. And so we're just grateful for what God is doing. We are sad that maybe some of the things that God has healed in the past is not necessarily in the cards in this particular instance, if you guys understand what I'm saying. But ultimately, we know that God can still intervene at any time he chooses. We know that his power is never too far gone. I mean, for goodness sakes, he raised Jesus from the dead. So we know that his power can work until the very last breath. But we also know that eventually we will be called home. And if this is John's time, we want to be in prayer for him. We want to encourage him. And I also want to just mention to you, there is nothing that changes your life more than the loss of a spouse. And we need to be in prayer and in support of Mindy. Can I get an amen? So we want to be there for her as well, if this is, in fact, the final days that they have. So be in prayer for them. Speaking of final days, I also just want to mention to you Kim Potts and Karen Baldwin. You know Karen as one of the singers that is a part of our worship team, and her sister Kim over here is the one who outed her as having an amazing voice, and that's a whole funny story I'll tell you some other time. But here's what we know that their father, who is originally from Brooklyn, New York, is down here because he is very, very far into a level of dementia. And he has a lot of problems and issues with his health as well. There's a possibility that they'll be putting him on hospice. And I got their permission to just simply say that if you would please pray for them, encourage them, and be a blessing to them. And we want to probably be reaching out via our network of friends here. And so we will let you know how to do that. If you're a part of that, you let us know that you'll be a part of that. We'll make sure that we coordinate and we show them the support that they deserve and need. And thank you for that in advance, and we do ask that you be praying for them. So thank you, everyone, for being a part of the church family. And let's never forget that, goodness gracious, a few years back, all we could do was watch on television, and it was just never quite the same. Can I get an amen, right? It just never felt the same. But it is a beautiful thing to be worshiping with you today. We gather together to be in God's house with God's people, so God's Spirit is free to move among us, and feel free as all we can to be at his feet and worshiping him. It's just a little different, and we want to make sure that we are here to hear from God, from his word, from his people, and also to not only receive a blessing, but what? To be one. Amen? Okay. Now, on the opposite end of that spectrum, I got some permission as well. Did you guys know, maybe you did, if you're a Facebook maven or raven, I don't know if that's something, but if you're out on Facebook, you may have heard that we have a new addition making his way or her way, we're not sure yet, to the Castro home. Eddie and Felicia are expecting another baby, so let's give a hand to those two. We're excited. We're so excited to see them. They keep making these cute babies and populating us around here with cute babies. I remember last year I was like getting a hold of Vince, and I love that kid. He's got cheeks that just invite me to, you know, do that thing. And I'm going through withdrawals with my grandson, not close enough, so poor Vince had it taken out on him last year. We're maybe only a year away from me doing that to another Castro baby, so we're excited about that. At least I am. They may not be here now that I've admitted all these things. I'm not sure, so anyway. All right, well, thank you so much, Peter, for reading from Luke chapter 2. This is my favorite part of the Christmas story. This is the part of the Christmas story that we always read as the Puckett family, when my dad sits down and gets the Bible that looks like a phone book, and we sit down and we read it together. And this wonderful experience is that oftentimes my sisters and I, we're getting a little older. We can't quite quote it as well as when we were young, but when we were young, we literally could quote it almost word for word in the King James Version from Luke chapter 1 all the way through. This is my favorite passage of the Christmas story, where God comes and lets his angels be the messengers that convey that Christ is being born. Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of it. And so as we talk about wonder and why Christmas still captivates, I'm going to very, very quickly hit three or four things that we talked about last week. So even if you weren't here, you're still going to kind of be on the same page as we are about the concept and the theme of wonder. So as we go to our next slide, you'll see that today's message is entitled Treasure and Tell, from the scripture text that Peter read for us just a little bit ago. So let's go to our next slide, and as we do, let's talk about wonder. Wonder is used in two different ways, to question, ponder, meditate, or kind of think about, like, I'm not really sure I fully understand. That's one way to be in wonder. But I think more than anything, the word that captures the Christmas season is this second definition, to be filled with admiration, to be filled with awe, to be filled in amazement or marvel at something that's happening. And really, truth be told, there's no better word that captures what was going on as Jesus was born and as he came into the world as the Son of God. But you know, it's a very interesting thing, because I still marvel at the way that there is a sense of wonder during the Christmas season. And sometimes it happens for some folks, right? You know, man, I mean, some stores have it before Thanksgiving, right? But then there are some people that start feeling it just a little bit after Thanksgiving. For me, the tradition is, as soon as we're driving home from our family reunion / Thanksgiving celebration, it's the Christmas playlist, and off we go, right? We've got a long drive, and we're listening to Christmas tunes, right? So there are a lot of different times that it will hit. Some people don't seem to catch the Christmas spirit till just right at the very end of it. But here's what I do know. For the majority of people, as you look and see and observe the world, things just feel a little different during Christmas. And there is a sense of wonder, not that is just permeating the way that we wish that it would, but it is just a little different, and there is a sense of wonder around the Christmas season. So let's keep moving here, and let's talk about how in this passage of Scripture, these 3.5 chapters that detail the Christmas story as we know it in Matthew 1 and 2 and Luke 1 and 2, the word wonder, as questioning and wondering how and why, happens 4 times. The word wonder for fear, reverence, and awe happens 4 times. To marvel, to treasure, you know, in other words, to be deeply engaged with what's happening, happens 2 times. And then the concept of being worried or even confused, you know, happens 2 additional times. So there's this sense of wonder that touches not only our world, but also the scriptures detailing as Christ steps into the world. So let's go to our next slide here. And here is something to learn that I shared with you last week, and I'll share it with you once again. The word wonder almost implies a fairy tale setting, but it's certainly not that. As a matter of fact, both the sources and the setting of Jesus' birth are clearly told in Luke 1 and 2. It lays out how eyewitness accounts and written documents were used, and the exact timing is given very clearly in Luke 2. And so rather than just eliminating wonder because it's so firm and so connected to reality, the truth is that it hits even more powerfully. Last week, I kind of related it to seeing a true story that is turned into a movie, and it just hits a little more powerfully. And in that way, we understand that the truth is that they were not telling a fairy tale. They were telling the truth of God stepping into the world and how it changed everything. So let's go to our next slide, and here's where we kind of begin to read some new scriptures and deal with some new material. This is what you see here, where verse 4 kind of is a little blacked out there. That's where Peter began to read. And I want to just share with you, this is what I mean by it's firmly rooted in reality. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So we know Caesar is reigning, and which Caesar it was. And this was the first registration, meaning there was a second one, right? But this was the first one. And then it says, this happened when Quirinus was governor of Syria. And so now we know that it happened when Quirinus was governor and Caesar Augustus was reigning over all the Roman world. So now we begin to narrow it very, very far down. And then we get the answer to why in the world would a man put his pregnant wife at 9 months on the back of a donkey and start moving somewhere. If you've ever tried to touch a pregnant woman when she ain't feeling good, you know this is a crazy thing that needs to be explained in God's word, right? Can I get an amen from the men? All right, some of y'all are like, man, you're out there on your own. Forget it. Okay, but here's what I know. This is what happened. They all went to be registered, each to his own town. And isn't it interesting how God said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and he put in place the means and the setting and even the tools that divert and take his people that he has chosen, Joseph and Mary, to the town that he has already predicted and prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years ago that the Messiah would be born. And it's all coming together. And he's of the house and the line of David. And it all fits. And then, so Joseph went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. So now you understand the setting, and it is firmly rooted in real human history. Let's go to our next slide. And as we do, we see on our next slide here, this is what I wanted to share with you. Do y'all know who that is, right? That's the golden child, right? This is why I'm so excited about Christmas this year. Because last year, we got to celebrate with Ben, all right? But it's not the same as like kind of trying to explain to somebody what a toy is versus the kid who knows what a toy is already. Do you understand what I mean? And you can see clearly this is a genius child. I mean, he's pointing out to Shelley. He was telling Shelley, let me tell you, Lolly, exactly what's going on in this book. At least I think that's what he was thinking. So there's Shelley reading a book to Ben. We are so excited about sharing this Christmas season with Ben. But this is also kind of sad. Because have you guys noticed that when you were a kid, Christmas was everything? Like, you literally were like excited for the whole October is next to November, which is right before December, and I just can't wait. And then as you get a little older, it's a little less, but you're still excited. And then maybe as you go a little further, Christmas holds a little less wonder than it used to. And then when you just get full on hardened by the world and the frustrations and the busyness and the money that you got to spend and the bills that you're still paying into February and all that stuff, it just feels like, what's the point of Christmas? And you've lost the joy and you've lost the wonder that God intended to surround his son's birth. Can I hear an amen? At least you've felt that way at least once in your life, amen? Okay, so here's what I want to share with you. I hope and pray that as we talk about wonder, it will be something that will refill you with wonder. You may not feel like a child again, but if you can instead say, I'm not going to be a child again, but maybe I will shift my mindset and align a little bit closer to what God would have me to do and think and be, and experience in this Christmas season. It'll be a lot less about getting, and it'll be more about giving. It will be about honoring what God has done rather than just simply experiencing the things with family that kind of bring joy or sometimes bring pain. I don't know. But I just think it's important for us to realize that it's not probably not possible for us to have the wonder of a child, but we can make big strides back towards that if we put things in the right place. So let's talk about a moment of wonder that's in this story. And it is hard to overstate the impact that the angelic choir had on the shepherds. Because think about the brightest lights in the world at that time were candles and torches. And if you can imagine, like, you couldn't even imagine the lights that are on me right now at that time in the world. It was just impossible. And I mean, this can be so much brighter for sure. But on top of that, you think about the angels and the glory that shone around them, so much so that they were terrified. You cannot even really overstate the fact that they had their full attention. It was awe, it was wonder, it was fear, it was amazement, it was everything rolled into one. And one angel speaks out, "Do not be afraid. For I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with that angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So that's all happening. And if you can just imagine being on a dark hillside and not being anywhere on God's radar in your own mind and heart. Like, God doesn't care about me. I'm just a normal, ordinary, plain shepherd. And so even if God were to interrupt our world, he sure wouldn't be interrupting it for me and Mo and Larry and Joe that are next to us watching these sheep. You guys with me? You understand? It's not that he's coming to me, but what does the angel say? "I bring you good tidings for everyone. For unto you is born this day." And it's very personal. And so it's so incredibly important that we grasp that this moment of wonder is not just for the shepherds, but it's for us. Because if you are like me, you know that you're just a normal, ordinary individual. Like, you're not somebody who's on the famous radar. You're just a normal individual. But ultimately, what God did with these shepherds is a microcosm of what he's doing for us. He's reaching out to us and he's saying, "I'm reaching to you, not because you are good or that you are someone special, but because I'm telling everyone that I've come for everyone." And it's so important that we look at some of the things that we can see from him coming to the shepherds with this angelic choir. So let's go to our next slide if we can. Don't miss this. The angel's visit to the shepherds was officially just an announcement to them, but the shepherds understood that it was also God's invitation to them. I'm going to say that one more time. It was really just an announcement, and yet they took it as an invitation. Now, they're not out of line. I want to talk with you for just a moment, and I want to slow down here, and I'm going to ask you, have you ever considered that every time God reaches to you or impacts you with a truth, it is not just so that you can be changed here. It's so that you can be changed here and here and here. The way that you live your life, the way that you have your heart changed. It's so incredibly important that we don't allow ourselves to get into the mindset that Christmas is clinical for me. Because if Christmas becomes clinical for you, you can kiss wonder goodbye because it's never coming back. Can I get an amen? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Amen? Y'all? I've told you before, I'll start over on you if I have to. But if I can hear that y'all are with me, can I get an amen? That's what I thought. I knew. You know, it's always a threat. Never fulfilled. Here's what I know. For most of us, we want wonder. but we don't make room for wonder. And when God actually knocks on our heart's door, we just go, that's good. And we keep moving, and we never slow down, and we never stop, and we never change the things that we're doing. But what did the shepherds do? They heard the announcement, and they said, let me just tell you what they said. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that God has made known to us. They figured that if God made something known to them, it was so they would do something with it, not just know it. Can I ask you, how do you think when God makes something known to you and when he hits your heart a little bit, do you just go, wow, that's interesting, or that's good, or maybe even I should write that down, but you never actually change the way that you live? When God announces something to you in your heart, it's so that you might live something different. It is his invitation to change your life in small ways, bit by bit, but it's always your choice. God doesn't muscle his way and doesn't grab us most of the time. He can, but he does not often do that. He waits for us to show how serious we are about reclaiming wonder in our life. Let's go to our next slide. And I just shared this all with you, okay? And so I'm not going to continue to read this passage, but this is from Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 16. Let's go to our next slide as well, if you don't mind. This is just the continuation of that. And so you can see that they know where to go and where to look. So let's go to our next slide as we do. Here's our big idea. To experience wonder at Christmas, we must treasure and tell what God has done. Or to re-invite that experience back into our lives. We must treasure and tell what God has done in our lives. So I tell you what, this is how we always talk about this. We always say, hey, can you read this with me? Don't worry about the re-experience part. Let's just do experience only, okay? Because I don't want it to be confusing. But on the count of three, can we say to experience wonder together? Okay, ready? One, two, three. To experience wonder at Christmas, we must treasure and tell what God has done. Thank you. Let's go to our next slide. So in Christ's birth, God chose simple and humble, not grand and impressive. This is the first lesson. I have two that I want to share with you that are very, very important about how we figure out what is the thing that we should actually treasure. So think about this. When God came and shared this angelic choir, he came to shepherds and not to scholars, right? You see that? He came to a humble place and not to a royal palace. You see that? He came to ordinary people, not the powerful elite. So over and over and over again in the scriptures, when he tells us God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, that pride goes before a fall. When he brought his son into the world, he came to the most simple, humble, ordinary situations and people, and he shared his announcement with them, and then they became a part of the Christmas story. And so it's so important that we grasp and understand that if we cannot get past these things on the right-hand side of the ledger, then we're off of God's page. You guys see what I'm talking about? There's a comma in every one of these sentences that I created here. Shepherds, not scholars. Humble, not royal. Ordinary, not powerful. If we can't get to the left side where God's page is, if we can't get away from honoring these things on the right-hand side above all things, then we will never reclaim wonder in our life. Okay, so let's go to our next slide here, if you don't mind. And as we do, this is something to learn. Shepherds are not the perfect stereotype of the devout in the ancient world. Let's just say that these men were probably a little rough and tumble, and they did a hard job. Even Jesus, whenever he talked about being the door for the sheep, what would often happen is they would herd the sheep into a gated area, a walled area, and then there would be no gate, but it would be a narrow passage. And that the shepherd would lie down there so that if a wolf was coming or a sheep was leaving, that they would walk over that shepherd first. It was not easy to be a shepherd. It was a lion and a bear when David was speaking about it. And they did it for scorn from the elite, And they did it for little money. I mean, they were not in it to get rich. They were just simply doing a hard and normal and everyday job. But God honored those men that probably wouldn't have been on anybody's list as God's favorites. This is so incredibly important. This is so incredibly important that we not get wrapped up in what man sees, but instead honor what God sees. And what do we hear about David? The man looks on the what? The outward appearance. And God looks where? On the heart. These men clearly had a heart for God, and God invited them in. And nobody was more surprised when God did that than the shepherds themselves. Let's go to our next slide. So this is the what to treasure. This is the what to treasure. And I want to talk a little bit further about Mary, if we can. Very quickly, let's go to our next slide. And as we do, God made the announcement to the humble shepherds, and the wise men had to search and find the star and act upon it for themselves. And they did. Praise God, they did. But he intentionally came to the humble and the outcast and those who were on the edges and the fringes rather than those who would, for lack of a better term in 2024, add street cred to Jesus' birth, okay? Let's go to our next slide. Y'all know what street cred is? I have none. That's one hint for you, okay? All right, so important lessons in the story. Those blessed most by Christ's birth took time to intentionally treasure God's moments and his movement in their life. The shepherds left the flock. The wise men had a long and uncertain journey, but they took it anyway so they could be there and celebrate the Christ child. And Mary took time to treasure and to ponder the things that God was doing in her heart. Now, here is where I want to slow down and just share a couple of scriptures with you. Let's go to our next slide. And you'll see it here. This is what's going on. And they saw it. That's the shepherds. They saw it. They made it known, the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered, there's our word, at what the shepherds told them. And then it goes on, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God. So you can see that in some ways this is a section of scripture all about the shepherds. But right there in the midst of it, what does it say that Mary did? But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, according to most scholars, Luke is writing what Mary is telling. And this is happening some 30, 40 years after what happened to her. But she knows it word for word, not just through the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and his holy scriptures, but because she treasured all of these things and hadn't forgotten. Mary still had wonder at the Christmas story. She probably still was the most surprised that God would choose somebody like her to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And so all of this, we see that in the midst of what is seeming to be the narrative, there is a step out of the narrative, and it says that Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And can I tell you, you already know, if you're going to experience wonder once again in the Christmas season, if you're going to be in awe and marvel at what God has done to come into our world, it will not be because you found the best flash sale. Sorry, honey. I know that you're the flash sale girl around our house. Shelly's like, I got it on flash sale. I think that's her clue to me that I don't need to worry, right? Isn't that what that means? No matter how many flash sales you get, there's always going to be another one. No matter how much shopping you do, there's always going to be a little more. No matter how perfect you want yours and Martha Stewart's tips to go in and be great when you host something at your house, no matter all that stuff, and even if it goes perfect, it's still going to fall flat if it doesn't have Jesus at the center of it. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. So what happens here is in the middle of the busyness and the flash sales and the hosting and all the craziness and the gifts that come about, you and I, like Mary, have to step out and take it all in and ponder it, be in wonder, and treasure it, because it will go away. Sometimes when my family comes home, some of the best times that I have are when I'm walking back into the room and everything is happening. And it's going on without me. And I get to be an observer of the amazing connection and love and joy that's happening. It gives me wonder. You understand what I mean? This is what I think is happening when Mary steps outside the picture that she's at the very center of, and she treasures it, and she ponders it, and she does not forget it, and it means something to her, and it lodges deep within her heart so much so that as she is asked by Luke, tell me about this story, tell me how this all came about, she says, no problem, I got it, and I got it all, right here and right here. This is how you treasure these things. And let's go to our next slide, and this is important. Just so you don't miss it, God is good to us because he knows that sometimes we miss the first one, so we usually don't miss it if it shows up a second time in the same chapter. And he, being Jesus, went down with Mary and Joseph and came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. This is something we're covering this coming Wednesday night. This is when Jesus is leaving the temple at age 12. But notice that what she was doing in that moment when he was just first born is still what she was doing 12 years later. And his mother treasured up all of these things in her heart. She steps out again and takes it all in, and it is a blessing to her. It's joy. It's a source of joy to her. So let's go to our next slide as we do. Here's what we understand. This is the how to treasure. You and I, like Mary, have to stop the rush, stop the pace, or at least let the pace pass us by so that we can step out, overview it, see it, and take a moment to give God the glory. And I shared this with you guys. I don't know if y'all were here. But sometimes when I don't have time to pray, sometimes when I don't have time to really just focus, it's good for me to just simply put my hand over my heart and tap my heart and say, Lord, I'm trying to ponder all of these things and treasure them right here because I know that you're moving. So this is the what and this is the how to treasure. So let's go to our next slide and you'll kind of see. We put it all together. This is the what to treasure, the simple and humble, not the grand and impressive. And this is the how to treasure, by intentionally treasuring moments in his movement. It's so incredibly important. Okay. All right. So very quickly, now, this next thing that I want to share with you, and I am drawing very close to a close, as we go to this next slide here. And when they saw it, that's the shepherds, they made known the saying that had been told. And all who heard it, what is the word? Wondered at what the shepherds told them. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they'd seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. So we don't just have the obligation to treasure what God has done and treasure and value what God is doing in our world and all of those things. We have the responsibility to tell it. And as we tell it, wonder increases with those that are around us as well as for us. Let's go to our next slide. A moment of wonder, another one, is when a group of ordinary shepherds began to spread the word about what they'd seen, and many other common people began to experience wonder at their story and at God's movement. Let's go to our next slide, if you don't mind. And here are some big questions. Do you see God's announcements to you as invitations to go deeper with him? Do you intentionally take time out of your day to treasure God's moments in your heart? Or do they just simply pass you by like everything else? And then do you tell others when God intervenes in your life, big and small ways, do you convey and communicate that to other people? Because it is so incredibly important. That is where the wonder began to build in those that did not see, but later would believe. If you are trying to reach family members, friends, so that they might experience wonder at a time where they desperately need it, Don't forget that this is how God used it. They knew what to treasure and they knew how to treasure, but they didn't just treasure, they also told what God was doing. Let's go to our next slide here. And this is how Christmas still captivates. Even though God had all the power to impress us, he chose instead to identify with us. Christ came to walk among us as one of us to show his amazing love for us. And Christmas shows that God still pursues connection with mankind, and that is always a treasure to receive, but also a treasure to tell. Let's go to our next slide. Here's our I apply by, and the worship team can go ahead and come on up. We're about to finish here. Do you treasure the right things? And how and where can you be involved in telling what God is doing in your life? Do you treasure the right things? Do you treasure those things that God has chosen? Are you pleased with the ordinary, or are you only satisfied with what the world considers extraordinary? And how and where can you tell the good news? By the way, the word gospel that you and I both know, it basically is just the words good news. If you want to tell the good news of what God is doing, you are sharing the gospel. So treasure it, but also make sure and tell it. Let's check out this video.
He and I have a rhythm and a routine here in our humble home, and that morning he was messing it up. See, he comes in at 7:12 every morning on the nose. I hear his boots hit the floor. I make the coffee. He washes the pasture off of him, and we take our toast to the patio. That's our thing. He's a quiet man, likes the one-word answers, that one. And then he's off to bed. He keeps the herd at night. Oh, how my parents looked at me when I told them that I'd fallen in love with a shepherd boy. But that's a story for another time. Or never. But that morning, there were no boots, only quiet. Quiet like my husband. And before I could get to the front door, it slammed. It was loud. It was different. As if the front door knew something I didn't know. My husband yells for me. He yells for me. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's lost the herd. He's out of breath. He's saying my name as he takes my face in his big hands. His eyes, they're full of fear. No, awe. Tears are running down his face, and he can't stop talking, ranting about this bright light that fell out of the sky and angels. Yes, that is what I said. Angels, hundreds of them all over the field proclaiming good news. But what did he mean, good news? Now I know my husband, the shepherd. He will never hold the scepter of a king, never sit with dignitaries to solve the world's problems, never even be invited to a meal where he has to wear a suit. But he was given the greatest edict in all the land, all the world, actually, called to the front lines by God himself to proclaim this good news. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you that you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I can see it in my sleep now. I can see it sometimes too. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. God was pleased with my husband, the shepherd. His boots hit the floor a little later on these days, and that's okay, because he is telling anyone who will listen the good news.